It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
All right, we do have Pastor Lizu Chinyama, who is going to be answering a lot of questions today, because we only saw him and spoke to him on Monday, and the rest of the week he went MIA, and I blamed it all on the lines, thus is Zambia. But it's fine, he's here now. Better late than ever, right, Mfundisi? Mfundisi, are you still there?
Yes, I am very much there.
All right.
I can get you clear.
Let's begin with our question for today, Mfundisi. Would you find it easier to kill someone if you believed God supported you in that act?
Wow. Thank you so much. Beautiful question it is. The straight answer to that question is no. Why? When we read the Bible in Exodus 20, verse 13, there's a very short sentence there, and it tells us, you shall not murder. In other words, you shall not kill. And God is unchangeable, so is God the Son, so is God the Holy Spirit. And so he is a God who possesses a standard that also does not change. So his law does not need to be improved either or modified either by our thinking or what our heart is telling us today. Because our heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. So whether we are convinced or not, we are not supposed to kill, because doing so is going against the law of God, beloved of God.
But the Bible doesn't say you shall not kill, Mfundisi. It says you shall not murder. Surely we do appreciate the distinction between killing and murder. Killing is the lawful, or it's the taking of life, whether it is permissible or impermissible. But murder, it's when it is not permissible. Police, for example, are allowed to kill if they are doing so within the confines of the law. Soldiers are allowed to kill if they are doing it within the confines of the law. People are allowed, ordinary people are allowed to kill if they are doing it in self-defense. Now, the Bible teaches us many are times that we are supposed to kill. God instructs us to kill, one, people who are committing acts of fornication or adultery, two, people who are blasphemers of the name of the Almighty Yahweh, three, people who have committed acts of idolatry. All those people are supposed to be killed. Those are instructions from God, but that's not murder. Murder, it's when you have calculated to take the human life without the law permitting you to do so. Why are we saying the Bible says thou shalt not kill, and yet the Bible does not say that? The Hebrew does not use the word kill. It uses the word tressa, which is murder.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you so much for that good elaborate illustration, giving us examples, especially in the realms of man.
Right.
Now, what we have to understand, the nature of the work of those people that are in charge of defense, that are dealing with protecting us, you see, they are doing so because they are standing for the law.
Right,
now,
right.
The extent at which they will be able to release, to pull the trigger to release that bullet,
right,
is at a point where a human being has not followed the instruction or the command to say stop and let us talk. And
right.
So they are running away, or they are running with a gun,
right,
going to kill somebody. And so in that extent,
right,
the Bible will actually not really allow, but because of the standard of man, now it's us now that are doing what is right. Why? Because of a guide again in the Bible. Not that it is allowing, but there is a form of protection that is being done. And so that killing is not killing because of the government of God allowing that to be, but it's happening because we are trying to curb violence. It's not that we are doing wrong from inception, but we are trying to cover a wrong with something that will really be of value and benefit to somebody. I think I can answer it in that way. In the Bible, I will not find any supporting verse that will allow to kill. But killing will come because mankind, whom God created, has failed
I will give you examples. There are numerous examples where the Bible instructs killing. And I want to give you one of an example where it doesn't only allow it, but it instructs that you should kill. I'm going to read to you the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 21, verse 18. to 21.
Deuteronomy.
Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 18 to 21. I'm going to read it for you in the King James Version, or which version do you prefer? Any version really matter. I'm going to begin with the NIV and then I'll go to the King James Version. Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 18 to 21. It reads, if someone has a stubborn and a rebellious son who does not obey his father and mother and will not listen to them when they discipline him, his father and mother shall take hold of him and bring him to the elders at the gate of his town. They shall say to the elders, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey us. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Then all the men of his town are to stone him to death. You must purge the evil from among you. All Israel will hear of it and be afraid. Here, it's God instructing that you must kill. Kill that boy. Kill that girl. Kill a child that is disobedient to the parents. So I've got many verses like this in Mfundisi, where it says you must kill people who are practicing idolatry, people who are seeking mediums, people who are blasphemers, people who are performing homosexuality, people who are performing bestiality. All these are instructions by God to kill. It's not even permitting it. It's instructing that you should kill.
Awesome, awesome. Let me take it up from there. There are many others, especially even in the line of the children of Israel in the Exodus, we can find. But let's deal with this we are looking at right now.
Right.
What we find here is is actually what will happen at the end of this world, at the second resurrection.
No, sir. It says then. There's no, sir. This instruction is an instruction in Deuteronomical times. This is an instruction given to Moshe after Sinai, and this was to be done on a daily basis when a child is a glutton and a drunkard. Not at the end, then.
I'm not yet going to this verse. I'm just giving an example of this verse is a scenario of what will happen at the second resurrection when the new Jerusalem will come down. Because Satan will be there and will be in charge. He will entice everyone else and try to fight the government of God. Why? Because of the word rebellious. So what we are finding here in this rebellious son, the parents to this son have tried by all means to tell this son and to instruct this son in the way of God. But the son has chosen to rebel. And so this killing here is not a justifiable fact that, well, you can just do it like that. So it's killing based on a wrong that somebody has done and of which God is unhappy. But all the efforts have been tried to be done. And then this person, he or she, here in our context, it's a son. This son has rebelled. So this killing now is permitted. But my answer still is no, the Bible does not permit to kill. Because if
I'm
it's like
you,
that,
sir, to respond to what is happening in these times, not at the end time. This does not refer to the end time. That is your own interpretation. That is not biblical, by the way. My question is about this biblical verse. Help me understand what is this biblical verse saying to the people who lived in these times.
Okay, in one sentence, this biblical sentence is just going directly to say, because someone has rebelled the voice of the parents, which is the voice of God through the parents, then this person will be killed. But this allowing, we will not buy it to say, well, we are supposed to do that. It's conditional. If this son is not rebellious, then you should not kill him.
I understand.
So the killing is coming because of the rebelliousness of that son. I hope it's clear in that manner.
Yeah, so God is permitting and instructing killing people under certain circumstances, under specific circumstances. Okay, so let's go back to the person who was asking the question. The person who was asking the question is, would you then find it easier to kill someone if you believed that God supported you in that act, such as the one we have quoted in the book of Deuteronomy?
Now, my moderator, you want me to change my answer?
No, I want you to find a biblical answer for this. You're the pastor here. I want you just to be as biblical as you can be.
So because you've put it in that manner, and the Bible has contextualized it here as we can see it, not right. in other ways where the Bible hasn't contextualized, because of this context, I would say, yes, the Bible will permit, because you are dealing with the Bible again, and the Bible has allowed you. Why? Because of the rebelliousness of this son, which can be the rebelliousness of sinners or right. any other person. But well, in just normal general context, well, killing, murdering there, whichever word we use, either in the Hebrew or in the Greek, the killing is not allowed. But well, contextually, because of adultery, fornications, and right. so on, covetousness, these things that bring hurt in the heart of another, because there is no love there, then you will kill. Because the same Bible that is telling us here that you should not kill is the same Bible that says he who kills with a sword, well, we'll die with a sword. And there are countries that have a constitution indeed. That gives the death penalty.
Including our country here in South Africa. We used to have that, but until we banished it and repealed that law in 1996 by way of the Constitutional Court. So I totally understand. We used to have that. A lot of our brothers and sisters were killed through execution mm-hmm. by the then apartheid government. All right. I want us to move on to the next question, Mfundisi, because we missed a lot of questions in your absence. One question that you missed as well is, how can you tell the voice of God from a voice in your head?
Okay, the voice of God from the voice in our head. Okay,
right.
So we have two things here. We have the voice of God and we have a voice in our head. So the voice of God, God talks to us through nature and through revelation. He also talks to us by the influence of his spirit. But when we come to the voice in our head, we have voices in our head. How? Based on assumptions, based on perception, how we perceive things, how and why, due to upbringing and due to background. So now when we come to the Bible, reason must actually acknowledge an authority superior to itself. You know, we were just created beings. And so we should be able to come to a point where the reason must acknowledge that there is a greater and superior authority above any reasoning and intellect that we may have. And so all the intellect that we may possess or think to have because of education and change of environment should come to a moment where it should bow to the great I am in capital letters.
Yeah.
So how do we know this? We should always be conscious to God's word in humility, meaning as we approach God's word, we should differentiate two things. There is what we call exegesis.
Yes.
We allow the word of God to interpret, or eisegesis. We allow our minds now to think beyond and be able to interpret, you know, personally at a personal level, what we think the Bible is speaking in that particular portion. So John 7:17, if anyone wills to do his will, God's will, he shall know concerning the doctrine, whether it is from God or whether I speak of my own authority. Now, this is Jesus speaking here, meaning God never asks us to believe without giving sufficient evidence. We find this evidence in his word. We find it in his revelation. Through humility, we find it in his spirit. And so God never asks us to believe without giving sufficient evidence to base our faith. So doubt is part of life. We may think, well, I think this is the voice of God, and yet it's the voice in our head. But our faith, meaning our belief in God and what he says, must rest upon his evidence. And then we will be able to discern the voice of God because we know it, and then the voice in our head, which is perception and reasoning, that may fail us at times. I think that would be my answer to that question.
Okay. All right. And then the last one is, if your parents had belonged to a different religion, do you think you would belong to that religion too?
Okay. If your parents belong to that religion, do you think you would belong to it too? Okay. There, the answer is yes, and the answer is no. So there are two answers. There is yes and no. You know, in school, there are those instances where you're given a question and you look at the three or four options and they all look okay. They even give you an option to say, okay, all of the above or none of the above. My answer here is, yes and no. Let's break it down. Deuteronomy, the book we were referencing, chapter 5, verse 16. The Bible there says, honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long and that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord is giving you. Now, when we understand it clearly here, the Bible in several instances, not just in the Old Testament, even in the New Testament, Christ there has been telling us, honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you. So what we should here understand is the honor of father and mother is an important part. This is a counsel to the child. But we also find a counsel to a parent, which is in Ephesians chapter 6, should be verse 1, Ephesians 6 verse 1, which says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Obey your parents in the Lord. Now, when you see that one, the word parents there is given in the Lord, meaning a child or follower or dependent can obey their parent in the Lord if that parent is in the Lord, because it's possible that a parent cannot be in the Lord. So if you feel the religion, you look at the fruits and the work, the religion that your parent is in, if it is giving good fruit, good results, and the outcome is okay, your perception, your reasoning is well, you will follow it. But if the religion of your parents is not good, and it's a religion that you question yourself even before you come to the Bible, just by reason and by looking at your perception based on what you've learned and what you've been exposed to, you'll be able to tell, to say, well, this is not the right way. So at that point, you will not follow. But if it is good, you will follow. Yes, they are your parents. But if are your parents in the Lord, because you will not be saved because of your parents, you'll be saved because you have believed in God. So the answer is yes, you can belong to that religion that your parents have, you found them following, or no, if at all it is against your conscience.
Wow.
That would be my answer there.
Oh, okay. You've just blown my mind about that in the Lord part. So help me understand how you arrive at interpreting in the Lord to mean what you've just said, Mfundisi.
Okay. Ephesians chapter 6. You see, it's a very good power pack. I've done a sermon on that before, and I'm still bringing out more stuff from there. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. That phrase there actually in the interpretation is the dynamite of that particular verse, because the obedience here will come because of the presence of God. If there is an absence of God, then if there will be a disobedience that will come from the child, the follower, it will not be accounted as wrong before God. It will be accounted as well, because this child would not want to suffer the fate and the chaos that the parents will suffer. Why? Because they want to dwell in the Lord, where there is peace, where there is restoration, where there is truth, and where there is life. So that's where the phrase in the Lord comes in. Here it's power packed. Deuteronomy is just for the child. But now Ephesians is for both the child and the parent. The parent in the Lord. Are you in the Lord? Because if you are not in the Lord, don't complain if your child is not following you. Because what the child is doing by following me, leave them alone, because the kingdom is theirs, then they are doing what is right. If disobedience of a parent, if you are in the Lord, disobedience of a child to a parent, if this child is in the Lord, is not disobedience against God, is actually following the right way. And if a parent forces such a child, they will suffer fate against God in the appointed time.
The reason why I'm asking, Funis, is because Ephesians 6:1 in the Hebrew says, En Kyrio, En Kyrio, as in the Lord. And En Kyrio is an expression that says the position of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So it gives me the impression that you must obey your parents because they are in that position of the Lord. They must worship the Lord, but because they are in the position of the Lord.
Uh-huh. And Kyrio, my conclusion, the opposite is, if they are not in the Lord, then you will not be compelled, or you shall not be forced to obey them if they are not in the Lord.
Where does it say that, Mfundisi, that they must be in the Lord, because their position by being a parent is that of the Lord, in the same way as the husband is in the position of the Lord to the wife. Whether the husband is godly or not, by virtue of being a husband, he is the Lord to his wife. Why would then that qualify the husband? Why should the husband be a godly husband? Because there it doesn't say a godly husband. It says a husband. You must obey your husband, submit to your husband as to the Lord. And Kyrio.
Okay. Again, let me change the phrase here. To make it a bit simple. Children, in the English, it's just saying children, obey your parents in the Lord. For this is right.
Right.
So when you see this statement here, is the obedience here is coming to the parents because these parents are in the law.
No, for this. That's not what it says. That's exactly what I'm trying to bring to your attention. The word in, or the phrase in the Lord, does not mean the parents must be godly or heaven what bound or Christian for that matter. Are you therefore suggesting that children who are born of Muslim parents must disobey their Muslim parents because they are not Christian? Are you saying children that are born to atheist families, they must disobey their families because their parents, because they are not Christian? They are not recognizing your Lord. Surely there is a deficiency in that thinking. Only parents who are Christian must be obeyed by their children, because every other parent is not in the Lord.
Okay, I think here, don't make our listeners, you know, wander far away.
I'm talking about what the Bible says.
If we are looking at this phrase in the Lord, look at it carefully. There's children there, and then there's a pause. Obey your parents.
There is
in
no pause then for
the
this.
Now,
there is,
now in the so, Lord, sorry, how will these parents be obeyed if they are not in the Lord? Am I clear enough?
Sorry, Pastor.
Are you able to hear me?
You're talking about a pause there, and yet in both the Greek and the Hebrew there were no punctuations. So the punctuations are a matter of
free flowing.
The punctuations are not theological. They are not inspired. Mm-hmm. They are a matter of those who were writing for the English reader. When they translated from the Latin Vulgate into the English, they added punctuation post 1611. So we can't talk about there as though there was a pause when it was written both by those 76 writers and then the original writers who wrote it in the Hebrew. So it's not possible for us. We can talk about the pause there, Mfundisi.
The pause is not a matter of interest. The pause is coming in the English so that the reader will be able to read this thing to give sense.
But the sense is distorted by that pause. That's what I'm suggesting, Mfundisi. The punctuation that
what's your final question in this?
My question,
so I answer it.
Yeah, my question, Mfundisi, is what exactly does it say to the children who are not Christian? Because you seem to be suggesting that the parents that are to be obeyed are parents who are in the Lord. And I'm suggesting to you that it is only a few who are in Christianity who recognize the Lord that can be qualified to be under that interpretation, which then suggests every other parent is to be disobeyed by their children. That's what I'm asking. Is that what the pastor is saying right now?
No, the pastor is not saying so. And every parent who has children, it's the obligation, according to Ephesians 6:1,
right,
for those children to obey the parents. And according to the question, are you able to belong to a different religion? If your parents belong to a different religion, do you think you would belong to that religion too? So my answer to this is both yes and no. How? Based on the outcome, you as a child, how old are you first? Because for you to belong to that religion, you should get to a point where you're able to reason, to understand and know what is good and bad. And so based on the...
Pastor Lizu, can you hear me?
Yes, I'm
okay.
Here. Are you able to hear me?
Go ahead, Mfunso. I can hear you. Go ahead, Mfunso.
Okay, so I was saying to say, based on the direct answer to a child belonging to a religion of the parents, would they think they would belong to that religion?
Right.
Well, the answer is yes or no. Again, okay. So I mentioned, I'm saying how I began. So this yes or no is determinant on the, well, what are the fruits of mommy and daddy's religion, or my guardian, if that's not my mommy and daddy, my guardian, okay. What's the fruit of their religion? Is it in accordance with the Bible? And so when I came to the point of, is it in accordance with the Bible? That is when I came to Ephesians 6. That's where it brought us to this point where we chatted a little. Ephesians 6 verse 1,
right.
where it reads, well, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So
right.
Then my reasoning now came here to say this phrase now, in the Lord, could also mean in another interpretation to say, are these parents, particular parents, in the Lord? So meaning whatever religion they are belonging to, the child also is knows about God, but are the parents also in the Lord? And I think that is where it didn't settle well with you, right? That's where your question is coming from.
So what I'm trying to establish, Mfundisi, is your yes and your no. Your no was if they are in line with the Bible, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I'm suggesting to you that only Christians are in line with the Bible, according to your theology. And you'd find that mm-hmm. extra the Bible, other people, other religions, other parents who belong to other religions, by your interpretation, are supposed to be disobeyed by their children because they don't follow the Bible. They will follow every other thing. For example, in Africa, you'll find that in mm-hmm. Africa, all 400 million or more than that of us here in Africa, I don't know how many we are in Africa, we'll be disobeyed by our children because we don't follow the Bible. Is that what you're saying?
Okay. No, that's not the way it is.
Explain,
actually,
explain.
That was just a phrase to be able to cement the explanation to those that are Christians, that are Bible-believing people. But to those that do not believe in the Bible, whatever they believe in, that should be their religion. So now it will trickle down to their children. Do they believe in what their parents are believing in, or there is something else they believe in? That's how I can answer that question.
Okay.
On those that are non-biblical people, because we have them. Yes, some don't even know about this Bible that we read about.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe to cement that, look at Colossians chapter 4. This Colossians chapter 4. It talks about Christian graces. And verse 5 and 6 says, walk in wisdom towards those that are outside, redeeming the time. And verse 6, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer each one. So this verse, again, if you digest the two verses, verse 5 and 6 of Colossians 4, my dear listeners there, you'll be able to understand that the Lord is applying his grace towards us to say, based on what we know,
right,
we should walk in that wisdom. Yeah, wisdom towards those that are without, meaning those that don't know Christ. So there are people, the Bible is acknowledging here, that there are people that know not about Christ, but he knows how he'll handle them in his
right,
wisdom.
Right.
So that when we know how to walk well, we'll be able to redeem the time and do what is right and follow what is right, follow the right religion. I think that's how we can.
Let me read you some text messages that I've received so far in what we are talking about, Mfundisi, and I'll give you an opportunity to respond to them. One text message writer writes, I think the pastor is mm-hmm. trying to say, in brackets, when it comes to religion and Christian values, if the parents lead mm-hmm. them out of godly principles, the rest of the parenting, the children have to obey. Do you understand
okay.
this message?
Yeah, read it again. I got it.
I think the pastor is trying to say, ellipsis, in brackets, when it comes to religion and Christian values, if the parents lead them out of godly principles, the rest of the parenting, mm-hmm. the children have to obey.
Okay, not really leading them out. What we are saying there is the parents, those that know the Bible, that know the godly principles, they should try by all means to lead their children through godly principles so that it will be easy for their children to choose to follow, to belong to their religion. I think that's what I'm saying.
The second part of that message, the second message, which was sent about 3 minutes after, says, e.g., like if the parents allow a child to accept pregnancy before marriage, If the child knows that God does not allow that, why obey? May God help us otherwise.
Okay. I've taken note of that. Yeah, I think it's possible they can ask so, because I mean, we really try to bring out our thinking there and also allow the Bible to speak.
So what I'm getting from this person who's writing this message is, if the child can discern that the parents are teaching them the right thing, then the children must obey. But if the child can discern that the parents are teaching them the wrong thing, then the child must not obey.
I think that's correct. Yes, that understanding is okay.
You're saying that understanding is correct, Mfundisi?
If the child discerns that what their parent is teaching them is not okay, meaning the child has some teaching, is their teaching based on the Bible? If their teaching is based on the Bible, then they think what the parent is teaching them is wrong. They should stick to the right teaching.
So children are now going to decide whether the parent is teaching them the right thing? Children, why teach children if they already know what is right or wrong? That's counterintuitive. The idea of teaching a child is because the child does not know. Now, we are saying on this show that children must be the final deciders, and they will weigh what the parent is saying, and then the child will decide whether to accept what the parent is teaching or not.
Absolutely no. The child is young and the child is growing. You, the parent, you are grown up, and at least you've seen stuff on earth, right? You've seen things beyond the Bible, and you've seen things in the Bible. So again, I repeat my moderator and my listeners there. Parents have the first mandate to teach. But for a parent to teach, they should have some information they are going to pass on.
But what if they don't? That's my point.
And this information should either be good or it will be bad based on that particular parent again.
Mfundisi,
yes, my moderator.
There are parents who have no problem with children who are drinking alcohol. There are parents who don't have any problems with children having sex before marriage. There are parents who have no problem with children eating all sorts of food, whether it's good or bad for them. Parents who have no problem with their children using profanity, swearing with their mouths.
Okay.
Parents who have no problem with their children being disrespectful to other people.
I see. And in which cluster of brackets do we put those parents? Are they godly?
They are parents.
Are they atheists, or they're just in their own way of life also? Where do we cluster them?
I have not seen any clusters, Mfundisi, because I've seen here in the Adventist Church, I've seen them in all the other churches in non-denominational, all over, there are parents like that. All over.
Okay. I think that would need a study on its own. Otherwise, a good parent, not because the pastor has said, but a good parent should be good themselves. And we know that no one is good besides God, but the good that we are talking about is they should try by all means to just reach the perfection that God imparts. And so a good parent will do that which is good and will not allow their child to do bad, not in their sight, unless the child is away from them. They'll be able to do that.
I'll give you
but
one parting shot.
In your midst, you will not allow that.
I want to give you one parting shot so that you know who these parents are, Mfundisi. Right now, as the world community, all citizens of the world who are living under democratized societies, if you consider your country a democracy, and if you believe that your country is a member of the United Nations, that therefore means you subscribe to the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. It is in that Universal Declaration of Human Rights where many countries deduce civil liberties, rights that are bestowed to their citizens. And one of those citizens' rights are rights of sexuality. Countries enact laws, and such as my country, the Republic of South Africa, and many other countries in Africa, which allow children to choose their sexuality. Our scriptures forbid that nonsense, but our country's constitutions, countries, not just a group, a small group, parliamentarians, Mfundisi.
That's right.
Have agreed to subscribe to the Declaration of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights to allow people, children, to choose their sexuality. Now, this has got nothing to do with religion. This is just parents who have decided, in the fullness of their wisdom, yes, my child can choose their sexuality. What?
Mm-hmm.
So this okay. And this is now the global community of Mfundisi. It's not only South Africa. It's not only Africa. It's all of the democratized world. So you must understand, friends, okay, where this is going. That this is to do with the concept of us saying this one is good or bad. As far as the world is concerned, at the United Nations and all countries that subscribe to it, it's okay to let children to be as abominable as they want to. They can choose. Even if I'm a boy now, I can choose. I am both a boy and a girl. I now choose to have pronouns. And according to the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, I've got the freedom of expression. I must be able to express myself in any way, shape, or form, which is abominable according to our scriptures.
Do you know why all those things are like that in our world today?
Because everyone thinks they are right.
Yes, yes, yes. You know, because of Daniel, I know you've read Daniel chapter 7, verse 25. You know, we are still in a sinful world, and so we are striving for excellency. But Daniel 7, verse 25 says, he shall think to change times and laws. Now, that he is not capital he, meaning it's small he, meaning there is another God who is claiming worldly power here to be the prince of the world, who says, no, you will not surely die. You can do this. You can get wisdom. And so this is why today we have parliamentary bodies and sitting and approving same-sex marriage.
Those
approving
parliamentary bodies.
And that. So we find two things, the law of God and we find the law of man. And that will be until the man of perdition is done away with. That's how I can put it in that.
That's not the horn. Those are not the horns. These are people that we vote into. We go and vote. 2 weeks ago, we went to vote in South Africa, and many other countries go and vote.
Yes,
we
yes,
put those people in.
No, listen.
These
are
parents
are
that you are saying must
they
be obeyed. I'll let you go. I'll let you go. I've kept you.
Okay, no. Wait before you go.
Okay, go
yes,
ahead.
There are people, but in as much as the other question that we said, how does God talk to us? He talks to us through, you know, revelation, through, he talks to us even through fellow mankind, you know, and he can use another person to come and speak to us. Why? Because of his spirit. So these things are also happening through man, because this fallen foil from heaven who is on this planet earth and feels the whole earth moving to and fro, he is also working through men. And so it's these things that we will see through men again, not through something else. No, animals will even be better. Men will give a problem. And so at the end of it, or the religion that our parents are following, whether they are Christian or not, you know, we should be able to weigh the form and weigh the content.
Who's weighing?
Then we'll be set.
Who is that? Is that the child who's weighing? Eh? Is that the child that's doing the weighing?
Okay. You know what, my mother? Come up with a day. Look at your schedule as AWR.
Yes,
and then let us talk about religion. And who is to determine the standard between a parent and a child? And
right.
I think we can
love that.
Something.
I love that. I appreciate it. I'll do that. So have a wonderful day. Thank you very much for coming through and talking to us, Mfundisi.
Thank you. God bless you and blessings to the listeners out there.
Gosingos Mfundisi. All right. That's how we end our Ask Pastor, a bit longer than usual because we had missed the pastor for an entire 3 days on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. We couldn't have the pastor, but we finally had him today. And when we got him, we thought we're going to pour all of our questions that we missed out on during the weekend. He was generous and gracious enough to answer all of those questions. And he has offered to come and spend a Sinai with us to discuss this very issue. And we will schedule that in. We will schedule that in so that we can be able to have the conversation with the pastor. You're listening to Adventist World Radio. Let's try and catch up now.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.